May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. Sure, many of us have been busy planting trees. Or maybe you might remember when you planted the tree in your garden. A few years ago, I was told, in fact, not just that I was told, I was shown, and I saw the orange tree my father planted the day my elder brother was born. And for some years, I enjoyed the orange. I was just thinking about this, you know, and I thought, I never asked about the orange when I last visited. But that was more like the tradition or the custom that when somebody is born, they'll plant something, something they'll always see to remember when a child was born. Although I can't remember if any was planted when I was born. But we can remember when some of the trees and flowers were planted in our gardens, and the joy that comes from seeing how the trees, the flowers are growing, growing into something reasonable, something beautiful. At the time you planted them. I remember last year we tried to plant something at the back garden, and each of the children had their own flowers. But I think the problem the flowers had was that they ended up overcaring for the plants. They ended up pouring more water because they thought they were being caring and they would always pour water. My plant. And many of them didn't make it. Well, this morning we are talking about the tree that was planted. In Ezekiel chapter 17, we see the Lord speaking about the tree. I myself will take a spring from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off the topmost of its young twigs, a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, and I make high the low tree. Dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. You can see the beauty of what God is able to do with the trees. The prophet Ezekiel envisioned God's kingdom as a giant cedar tree, where all kinds of birds could nest together in serenity. And that was the picture Ezekiel was painting in this prophecy. The birds symbolize people of all nations. One day, Jesus says, the mustard seed will miraculously become a giant tree where all nations shall dwell together in peace. And this is a prophecy of the Messiah to come. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. It will start out small and appear unimportant, like a tender spring. But it will grow and bear branches, and birds of all sorts will make their nest in it. And that's really what we see with the coming of Christ and the beauty we find in God's church today. Jesus came not as a mighty conqueror, but as a humble king, a man of sorrow, riding into Jerusalem to suffer and to die. To bear the burden of our sins, he suffered, he died, was crucified. He was raised again to life. Again, reminding us that those who die in Christ have hope of eternal life. So death does not have the final say, because in Christ we have eternal life. After rising, Jesus appeared to his disciples who were indeed afraid. They were afraid because they thought the Jews would maltreat them the same way they maltreated their master. But he gave to them a message. He commissioned them to take the message of his experiences, his rising, his death, his rising, to take it to the ends of the earth. Though they were fearful, though they appeared to be unqualified, but you know, God does not often look for the able. He looks for those who are available. Because in availability, if you remove the first few words, few letters, you find ability. Because in us, there's ability. God has given us abilities to do different things for him. So they went out and preached and taught, and the church grew and expanded, first from Jerusalem, then to Judea, to Samaria, and the ends of the earth. The wee tiny seed that was planted many years ago have grown and is still growing. And that's why today we find Christians all over the world. Some are being persecuted. Some are worshiping underground. They don't have the privilege we have here to walk straight into the church building to worship. Some are worshiping with fear, not knowing what will happen even before they end the service. But we've seen that, and it is growing even now in Latin America, in Africa, in Asia, and I'll say it is growing even right now in Europe, in Scotland. We might look at statistics that shows often that churches are declining. But I think that the question should rather be what we are doing. Because even from the last statistics, from the last census, it talks about growth or decline in the midst of growth. Because there are still churches that are growing. Churches are still remaining effective. God's call to us is not about success. God calls us to faithfulness. To being faithful in doing what he has committed into our hands. The parable about the yeast is very much like the parable of the mustard seed. They both draw our attention to the fact that sometimes things that start out small end up really huge. When yeast is mixed in bread dough, there's a chemical reaction that makes tiny air bubbles all through the dough. And these air pockets make the bread light and fluffy when you break it. And it only takes just a wee tiny bit of yeast to puff up a large amount of dough. Indeed, there are millions of lonely people throughout the world. We know in our situation there are many homeless people, lonely people. But within our congregation, we have few members who visit the housebound members and those in care homes at least once every month. They do that consistently, unnoticed, and often unrecognized, but they are faithful in doing that on our behalf. They are not solving the problem of loneliness, but the mustard seed, the yeast, is showing up in that ministry. There are thousands of hungry people in our country, but today, as with many other days, someone is dropping off a few items for our local food bank. It is not solving the problem of hunger and starvation in our world, but that is mustard seed that is showing up. Somebody is sad, and there are so many sad people across the world, but somebody at the end of the service might decide to put a smile on the face of someone. You are not solving the problem of anger and sadness in the world, but you are making an input to solving the problem. A little drop makes an ocean. Sometimes we get discouraged when we are trying to live out the kingdom life. Sometimes it seems like no one notices when we do the right thing. People only see it when we do the wrong things. Sometimes we don't feel like we are producing enough fruit or we are making enough impact. In ministry, you have to struggle with that. In life, you have to struggle with that, questioning yourself about impact and results. But like I said before, God is not calling us to success. He's calling us to faithfulness. Faithfulness in doing what he has called us to do. These parables should encourage us. Although we might not be able to see the growth of the kingdom every day, The point remains, it is growing, both in the world and in the hearts of the believers. The kingdom is growing. Finally, again, I would like to say, as we begin our summer services, to stay faithful, to stay committed in doing what the Lord has called us to do, not to be discouraged because nobody recognizes us, not to be discouraged because we are not seeing results from our works, our tireless activities. Mary Slezo never knew that her work will make such huge impact on the lives of a nation and on a continent and even in the world. Amen.